Hey, this is Justin with Technology Rocks coming to you remote with his partner in crime. Sounds like he's in a drive-through box at the moment. T-Bone, because the whole world has shut down due to Iron Man. Yeah. So basically, Iron Man, if you didn't listen to the weekend recap, the Iron Man thing has basically drawn an invisible force field around my house and Tony's house to be able to get here or me to get to there. So instead of sitting.
You are stuck inside and I am stuck outside.
Right, exactly. And so instead of fighting the crazy that is Iron Man traffic, we have decided to work remotely, but the cast stops for no one. So here we are. With that being said, local events, Comic Palooza news. T-Bone will be there 24th, 25th, 26th, booth 1932. Memorial Day weekend, he and I, and maybe, who knows, maybe some of your other Technology Rocks fan favorites will be there at the booth. That would be cool, just to have Ian and me and you and everybody else. That would be fun to have it. As we approach 900 plus listeners, actually, I think we broke 968 today, and subscribers, and mind blown. Can't even process that. I still remember being excited about 100. Don't you? It's just weird. It's weird. It's very weird. So, if you do hear dogs barking or me yelling expletives about two dogs, my apologies. I am working at home with the furry kiddos that are known as atomic time bombs that spontaneously combust if they see air. So, still not a whole lot of word on the movie trivia news. I'm kind of pumped for that, T-Bone, because I feel like that's right in our stupid wheelhouse that we don't have to think too much while doing it.
Yeah, which if it goes off well, the other guy may lose his gig, because this is one of those types of events where,
it's like, I got this.
We need to be ourselves.
Yeah, no, it's like somebody saying, here's a microphone, act like an idiot. And I'm like, okay.
Here's a microphone. Be yourself.
Big shout out to David Cohen. David's amazing. We will be feeling, maybe, I don't know, we haven't been confirmed yet, filling in for David because he's a firefighter. So he's actually a real life hero and does all kinds of things fighting.
When people are running out of burning buildings, he's running into
that. Dude's running into burning buildings. So, but he's also a DJ and a heck of a DJ as well. So, yeah, no, David's, he's typically does this trivia night, and we were asked to fill in. I don't know what the specifics are, but stay tuned, because it may be sooner than you think. So,
as soon as we know, you will all know.
Yeah, we may even have a special cast just to announce it. So, with that being said, going into Wine and Vinyl, still nothing on Wine and Vinyl. Again, Tony and I aren't jumping into that pool again unless we can do.
I'm actually working on some specific themes for it to kind of change it up, and also once I get those ideas together, then me and Justin will look at them together and see if, as a collective, we think it will work. If not, we will go to the drawing board and come up with a
name. I'm excited because I know nothing about what you're talking about, which makes me excited, because usually I am the all-seeing, all-knowing of knowing the things. But no, the fact that I don't know anything about this. Yeah, the fact that I don't know anything about this is absolutely awesome and absolutely amazing, because that's cool. Because no, I don't know what you're talking about, which is awesome. So
yeah, it's just some cool ideas that I think will elevate the experience. And once I get it more planned out and developed, then I will share this with everybody. And I think that our listeners will really receive my new concept in a much more responsive way.
Tony's going for a more fillin' sound.
Yeah.
More fillin'.
Yeah, so, I know nothing about that. So I'm actually excited to learn a little bit more, but we won't spoil it. We won't jump into it unless you're ready to share it. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not ready because, you know, as you say all the time, it's not quite baked. It's still doughy.
It's half baked. Got it. going into sipping paint or paint and sip, which no, we're not going to. Paint. Tony and I will not be drinking paint. We're gonna confirm a date with Shelly, but we're gonna push till June so T-Bone can focus on Comic Palooza. Comic Palooza is a huge event for him and a huge expense for him.
And I might even be squeezing in another event. Just like a week or so before, called Chocolate and Art. And if you've never been to that, it's a really cool event. It's where they do this pop-up gallery and they hang up all your artwork, and then they have chocolate fondue, so after you pay your admission to go in, then you can get yourself, I know, as many chocolate covered marshmallows as you can, or you blow up first.
That is good fondue. Yeah, no.
It's a really fun event. So if you're not familiar with it, definitely check it out. Again, that name is Chocolate and Art. And I did submit my artwork to it via email the other day. So that might happen, might not. I got to get approved first. But I have shown there like 4 or 5 other times, so I don't think I'm going to have a problem with it getting accepted again.
Yeah, no, that'll be fun. Yeah, so what would you show there?
Well, the funny thing is one of the pictures I sent them was my artwork hanging up at their event.
So what... Oh, so it is just you and your artwork. You're not doing... It's not a different genre for you or a different field for you. It's still artists are going down there and doing their thing.
No, it's kind of like a upscale event with a casual look.
And where is that one located?
That one is going to be at the garage.
Okay. Where is that downtown, I would assume?
It is downtown. It's in this artsy area. I'll have to get the address. But it's a cool place.
Cool.
It's almost got like that home/apartment building kind of vibe that's been turned into an art gallery.
Right. No, I gotcha. There's a lot of that sounds like fun. You had mentioned that a little earlier this week. I just didn't know what it was all about.
And that show will be on a Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
So the Thursday and Friday the week before.
Oh, the week before the Shelly thing or this paint and sip.
No, before Comic Palooza.
Oh, wow. So you're going to try to fit something in before Comic Palooza. Okay.
Yeah, you know, why not? Just litter my plate until my head explodes.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense. Speaking of exploding, I don't think this movie could get any bigger than it is now. Like, even if you go to the movie websites to look at, you know, what's going on and what people are talking about, if you go to tech websites to look at what's going on and what people are talking about, you cannot go to any one of these websites without seeing Deadpool Wolverine. You know, Deadpool Wolverine is everywhere. We're going to try to lay off some of the news about it because I don't want to spoil it for myself. So it's going to be a larger than life movie that I'm super excited before. I hope it's 4 hours long, which it's probably not. I think it's like 3 hours long though. I think it's going to be a long movie. They've got a lot of ground to cover with how these two end up with each other or end up on the same pathway as each other. And so it's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be pretty cool. Velma season 3, we talked about a little bit on the weekend cast. I don't think I'm even going to get through season 2. Season 2. Season 2 was just released. They're not sure if they're greenlit for season 3. So it's hard enough to get through season 1. So
I'm going to, I might, later on this evening after my son goes to bed, I might try to choke down a few episodes. And
it's just not my bag. It's got the Scooby-Doo look and feel to it, but it's just not the same.
If Ron Jeremy wrote it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, so to me, Scooby-Doo was cool for kids because it was trying to teach kids that ghosts didn't exist, and it was, it was trying to teach kids that scary things all had a reason for the scariness of the said things.
Well, remember on the show, you would have the Harlem Globetrotters, you had Kiss.
Kiss was on there, Harlem Globetrotters was on there, I just went blank on it.
Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, just all these characters were on there. In fact, I think Casey Kasem even played himself on there, which is weird because he was the voice of Shaggy.
There were so many icons that they would slip into episodes that you were just like, oh, that's cool.
Well, the whole premise of the show was to teach children that, yes, there are scary things out there, but they're not real, and they're not supernatural, that everything has a valid explanation, which this show kind of tapers on that seam, but it's just in a very lewd way that's not enjoyable for my consumption at this point. So apparently season 2 ends in a very abrupt way. And they're not, people are speculating if it was just because they didn't get greenlit for a season 3, or maybe they don't know if they're greenlit for a season 3, but the way season 2 ends is not something that you can see them moving into a season 3, so it's kind of weird. So, Ghostbuster news, Ghostbuster still tearing up the box office with Frozen Empire. There was an interview with Rittman and Dan Aykroyd that came out a few days ago that states they still have more tricks up their sleeve for our younger Ghostbusters cast. And that includes the, I don't know what you want to call it, legacy characters, is I guess that's the way you would say it. However, they're going to start moving down a pathway that's going to leave our younger Ghostbusters cast to fend for themselves at some point. Ernie Hudson is in his 80s now. Bill Murray's getting up there in his 70s, and then Dan Aykroyd's not a young Thundercat himself.
He's not the guy we saw in the Conan.
No. They're all getting older. And then with the loss of Harold Ramis, it's just, it made sense in the first movie, still makes sense in the second movie. But, they want to continue on with the franchise, but they want to kind of prop up the younger cast for success.
Yeah, I kind of like the way that they are, using the original cast, the original Ghostbusters. But at the same time, they are trying to teach and pass on their art and their skill.
Right. A lot of speculation, meaning can you catch lightning, as Tony says, can you catch lightning in a bottle twice? I don't know, man. I mean, Paul Rudd's really good. I would say Paul Rudd is probably the equivalent of a Bill Murray, type of thing. No slight toward Bill Murray or Paul Rudd.
It's just can these kids live up to their predecessors.
Well, the thing is he doesn't have a lot to tee off of. If you go look at Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Rick Moranis and Harold Ramis and Ernie Hudson and, you know, the comedic chemistry with those characters is that you took Ernie Hudson, a Shakespearean actor that was a professional actor on Broadway and things like that, and you literally dropped him in a swamp with a bunch of Looney Tunes. That was what made it funny. The Paul Rudd scenario that's going on right now is you have a lot of younger actors that don't have the comedic chops, and Paul Rudd is kind of carrying the load on his own, so to speak, without a lot of comedic lore to jump off of without these legacy actors, meaning you're going to have to bring in some older people into it to help tee that up, you know, so he can bring some of that Ghostbusters lore, which was that chemistry, back into that. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that. You know, Bill Murray is a comedic genius, so is Dan Aykroyd, and so is Ernie Hudson. You know, if you go back to the original Ghostbusters movies, Ernie Hudson had some of the best one-liners in the movie, which nobody expected. You know, he took the role because he needed a job, you know, type of thing, and had no... Nobody had any expectation for the cult film that particular franchise was going to bring out. So it's a different type of struggle because, one, the actors are way younger than the original actors were when they first did it, with exception of Paul Rudd, who doesn't age, by the way.
The thing about that, though, is that gives many more years of development and all of those particular characters and the possibility for more movies.
Right. Well, I think with Rittman at the helm, you know, when you have somebody like Rittman at the helm, which his dad was the original producer, director of the original Ghostbusters, along with Robert Zemeckis, who is a scary movie sci-fi genius. You know, he was behind Back to the Future. He was behind Frighteners, which is a kind of a gritty Ghostbusters, not Ghostbusters-like movie, but a rated R version. And did you see Frighteners? It's a great, if you haven't.
That's the one with Michael J. Fox.
One of Michael J. Fox's better movies.
I recorded that off of Stars years ago. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah. No, it was an amazing movie. In fact, but you can tell there was a lot of homage to the ghostly animations in this movie that looked just like it came out of the Ghostbusters camp. What I found interesting about this interview was, did you know that there was actually a Ghostbusters 3 in pre-production? Did you know that?
I vaguely remember you mentioning something about this before, but I don't know what you know.
Okay, so Dan Aykroyd kind of hinted towards what this movie was supposed to be about, and he said he had mentioned the major struggle for this movie was to not get an R rating because of what it was going to be about, meaning it wasn't going to be anything lewd or gross or sexual or anything like that. But it did basically, in some way, shape, or form, the portal to hell. Not that there is a portal to hell, but...
Well, we don't know. There could be.
They're true. I mean, there is my life sometimes, you know. No.
look at all the different ways to get into the Ministry of Magic.
So, well, right. So a portal to hell was open, and so the Ghostbusters are actually struggling to close the portal to hell. And that was what the whole premise of the movie. It was already in pre-production. Ernie Hudson had signed on, and Aykroyd had signed on. Ramis had actually signed on before, God rest his soul, he's sick and died. He lost his battle with cancer. Zemeckis was on board, and Rittman was on board before he died. and they could not get Bill Murray to sign on. So that was one of the lore of Bill Murray. Bill Murray, because of the lackluster performance of Ghostbusters 2 or reception of Ghostbusters 2, they could not get Bill Murray on board to do a third movie because he was like, nope, no more sequels, not doing sequels, hate sequels, don't want to do sequels after part two. There's no reason to come back. And they could not get him on board. However, they did release a video game of this particular movie that was considered canon or Ghostbusters 3 for Xbox and PlayStation 5 right around the mid-2000s. And it was loosely based on this script of this portal that gets opened. And it was a very dark, a way darker themed to Ghostbusters than they had planned, which that's the reason why they were going after this darker version of the story is because they felt like Ghostbusters 2 was too campy and pandering to the cartoon kid audience. And they were really trying to push for a PG rating instead of PG-13, where the very first movie really did push on that PG-13 envelope because of some of the things that were involved in the first movie. And whereas this movie would have been probably a very hard rated R rating, which they didn't know how well that was going to be received in a Ghostbusters camp. So they made it into a video game. So if you go, and there are copies of this script out there that you can read now because they've released the scripting for it. And it was actually a very dark movie and a very evil movie. And it would have been a very interesting Ghostbusters movie, in my opinion. But anyway, just fun, useless knowledge that exists. But they are planning on doing a third. They do have a script already in the works that they're kind of baking, I guess, would be with the right ingredients to see. Bill Murray's on board. What I enjoy about the Bill Murray involvement is that Bill Murray has gotten over his sequel phobia, I would say, and has accepted the role that, okay, I am this person and it is important to the audience and I need to just get over myself and just have fun. And that's kind of, if you go watch interviews with Bill Murray, you know, that Rittman's son has done a very beautiful job at recreating this Ghostbusters platform. And it has been a very, very fun trip through that memory lane for him, and he's on board very much like Harrison Ford and Han Solo. Han Solo wanted to be killed off in Empire Strikes Back. In fact, he begged George Lucas to kill him off. He was like, please kill me off, because he did not want to do Han Solo ever again. And then I think it was Mark Hamill that convinced him to come back for the Return of the Jedi, and because Lucas said there's no way you're going to get him back because he doesn't want to come back. So when he was sealed in carbonite, that was very much supposed to be the death of Han Solo. So it before, again, in his twilight years, in his 70s and 80s now, he has accepted, well, okay, you know, this is bigger than I am, and I need to accept the fact that, you know, people want to see this. So anyway, Bill Murray's kind of taken on that role. I just find that interesting as well, because as much as he hated the original part two version, that he's kind of come out. And I've always found the one and two to be comical just because of Ernie Hudson is actually what makes the movie funny, in my opinion. It's not the
He was also great in The Crow.
Right. Did you know that that's actually a good segue. Did you know that he will not see the new movie? He was like, nope, I just have no desire to see the new Crow movie. It's just, and it has nothing to do with he doesn't want to see it be remade. It has to do with the disturbing things that happened on the Crow set during the shooting and during the death of Brandon Lee while he died while filming that. It's too dark of a subject because he was around and involved in all that stuff when Brandon Lee died. So he just said it's very much like Christian Bale and Batman. Christian Bale does not want to revisit Batman because of the Heath Ledger thing, you know, because of what happened with Heath Ledger, which is why did you watch The Flash? Did you see that movie?
The Flash movie? Yeah, I watched it. I mean, it didn't like,
Did you watch the...
pay close attention.
Did you watch the scene...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Did you watch the credits part, after the scene during the credits?
No, I did not.
Okay, you got to. You have to. It's what makes the whole movie. Do you want me to ruin it for you?
It won't ruin it for me.
Okay, so if you watch the after credits scene, there is a part where Ezra Miller's character is walking out of the courthouse, or walking out of this thing, because I think the whole thing was the Flash is a villain in the thing or whatever, but in this alternate universe. And so he's, name's cleared, everything's hunky-dory. So Ezra Miller is walking down the street in what looks like a Gotham City type of environment during the day. And this amazing Mercedes car rolls up and he says, hey, Barry. And it's a voice that you recognize, and then you turn around, and it's George Clooney as Bruce Wayne. And, obviously you can't get Val Kilmer to do it, and Michael Keaton had already been in the movie. So, they were trying to get Christian Bale to do it. Christian Bale had stated several times that he has a very hard time coming back to that franchise because of what happened in Denver, Colorado, I don't think it was Denver. I think it was Aurora. It's what happened in Aurora, Colorado, when the shooting in the theater happened during the Dark Knight release, and then Heath Ledger's death. It's just too dark of a subject for him to want to revisit currently at the moment. And so he decided to opt out of this cameo. George Clooney said he would never darken the doorway of Batman ever again. And at the very end of this movie, there he is playing Bruce Wayne. And he said, hey, Barry, how's it going? Which Ezra Miller's character turned around and expected to see Ben Affleck standing there as Batman. He was not standing there as Batman. It was George Clooney, which means the timeline is still screwed up. History has been altered, and now what the heck are they going to do? So that's kind of where it left it in the Snyderverse, and then Snyderverse, God rest its soul. So there's not everybody now. That's the movie that everybody wants to see, but we will never see it. That we'll never see it because the Snyderverse is now dead and gone. So, but anyway. And so is the character, Ezra Miller's character, because of the weird personal life stuff that hangs over the top of that actor now. So anyway, it was an interesting Easter egg that George Clooney basically broke his own rule, said, I'm not going to do this, but I'm going to do this. But I did it anyway because he was asked to. It was literally a 30-second part. In fact, it was exciting enough for me to call somebody else in the room and said, hey, you got to watch this scene. And they're like, what are you talking about? And then she was like, holy crap, is that – that's George Clooney playing Batman. Yeah, no, so it was funny. It was just – it's a very – wink, wink, funny nod to Batman. But anyway, you got to go back and watch. Even if you just go back and watch the ending of the movie.
Yeah, just watch the end to catch that part. Yeah, for sure.
I did not like the movie because they killed Michael Keaton's character off and it pissed me off. You know, to me, it was a very Star Wars-like thing and it made me angry. So anyway, moving into hacked news. Going right into hacked news, not a whole lot of new stuff has happened in the hacked news other than the Roku hack has now jumped into 600 plus thousand, which we kind of knew that was going to happen.
think by the end, and I could be wrong, but I think by the end we're going to hit 1 billion users.
Right. No, I think you will too. 100%. I think you will too. So I don't think there's any surprise in this matter, any surprise that this is going to happen. But other than that, we do know that TikTok has been a huge subject going on board with what's going on. The government has passed a TikTok ban. TikTok actually has a timer now that's set to get their stuff in order, to
affairs in order.
Yeah, basically you have to stay in the United States, you either have to sell it or you have to shut it down in the United, or it's going to be shut down in the United States. Tony, because we have so much extra disposable income, would you like to know how much TikTok is for sale?
The curiosity is overflowing.
Not trying to sound like Dr. Evil here, but it's actually for sale for $100 billion with a B. Yeah, billion. Yeah, no. So there's been speculation that Google is actually going to step up to the plate. Google is worth now $2 trillion. So there's been speculation that maybe Google will come out of the woodworks and actually purchase TikTok. But anyway, not sure. I'm not sure how accurate that's going to be or how that's going to play out. Yeah, no, there's a lot of speculation on TikTok and why it should be banned and keeping your kids off of it and keeping you off of it and all the things. So we're going to have to see how this plays out. We're going to have to see how it plays out. But in your hacked category, that's probably about all the interesting things that's going on. There's not a whole lot of things. Thank goodness, because usually this category is pretty much filled to the brim of scary things that are trying to take your information and
life away.
Yeah, and whatnot. I know there's some speculation that Microsoft has a big hill to climb because of their leaked password data breach with a new virus that's gone out. Other reason why some of these viruses are affecting usernames and passwords and accounts and all the good things. So anyway, keep that under wraps. If you hear of any hacked things then that we haven't mentioned, then fill us in on it. Write or subscribe or send us a message in on our Facebook, because we watch that pretty heavily. We've got a lot of cool questions that came about. In fact, Friday's episode was based on nothing but questions from that. So, but that's about it on the hack section.
We do, in fact, read your questions, and we try to, provide the information that you are looking for that we've missed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, new technology news. Bose has just released their new QC Ultra earbuds, meaning they're an all-time low price, but they have been claimed to be one of the best noise-canceling earbuds out there. I don't doubt that a bit. I'm not even speculating on that. Bose is.
What do you think about that design, though? The way it's almost like a cuff that goes over your ear.
I don't know. You know, to me, they're not really showing anything that's different. I don't know if I like the design. Here's the thing about earbuds. The reason why I typically only wear one earbud is because I like to hear what's going on around me. You know, I like to be.
You don't want to be disconnected from the environment around you.
Right. And in most cases, I don't usually like to use the noise canceling aspect of it. You know, I go between, I've used the Bowers & Wilkins, I've used Apple AirPod, I've given up on the Apple AirPod, not because of the product, because I keep losing them and washing them and doing all the things. So I've kind of switched to my last of the Mohican pair of earbuds, which is the Bowers & Wilkins P7, I think is what they're called. I like the app control of the Bowers & Wilkins in relation to the Apple AirPod or Apple earbud with the noise cancellation. I think the Bose is priced right. I may not like the styling as much, but I think at a $249 price tag, I think it's going to be a game changer and compete with the Apple AirBud stuff, because the Apple AirBuds are $199. The Bowers & Wilkins would be on the higher end of that spectrum. So they're like on the $500 price point. So again, this is Bose's wheelhouse, dude. I mean, this is where they surf. You know, Bose knows how to make headphones. They just, you know, you can knock them all you like, but Bose makes a really, 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 really good headphone. And I've always enjoyed their headphones. And so it's one of those things where their headphones kind of falls right into their wheelhouse that they belong in. So I don't think it's out of the ordinary for them to start releasing that type of product, in my opinion. I don't know if I like the design, though. I'm kind of with you. The design's kind of bulky in comparison to the earbud. That's why I've always surfed back toward the Apple AirPod, because they're not bulky, you know? So I don't know. What do you think? What do you like it?
I'm just wondering, like, how it stays in. Because the problem I have with every earbud is, like, you know, as it warms up in your ears, it starts to change, and then it doesn't like to sit as well in your ear.
Yeah, no, it's weird. It's kind of weird, but it is a new product category. It should be interesting. We'll see. I'll put it in the we'll see box. Not sure. Here's another interesting product release, which will probably be never in a cold day in Hades would I do this. But it's interesting nonetheless, is that have you seen this new Megatron video that's out? Have you seen this robot thing that sits on your desktop that can change from a transformer into a tank and then changes back? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't, but it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, $1,900. It should be.
It doesn't sound that cool.
I was going to say, it should be really freaking cool at $1,900. So I would say, in that product category, I'll put it in the interesting, but never in a cold day in Hades am I ever going to pay that type of money for a toy. So not quite sure how they do it. It does look cool. I do know that this same company came out with an Optimus Prime that allegedly sold very well. So who knows? But yeah, I did see the video of it. It looked pretty interesting, but at $1,900, I just don't think that's gonna happen for me. Yeah, no other new technology that's coming out. The iPad event is going to happen soon. So they're going to be talking about new iPads to be released. Allegedly, there has been speculation that they're focusing on the artist. You may find this interesting. Artist community to start using iPads professionally, because they have yet come out with a touchscreen laptop like the Surface, but they're supposed to be doing that within this iPad.
Those Android and Windows users, we're so bad with our futuristic technology.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Apple's been struggling on that front. Now, Apple's actually widely used in the industry for animation and for graphics. So, and they always have been. So that'll be interesting. Here's an interesting thing that I should have mentioned on Hack. So Google was actually somewhat forced to release a way for you personally to go in and clean up your data that's on the internet. So, meaning you can now pull your personal information off the internet now and go into, so if you go into Google in your browser, Google Chrome, and type in, and then at the top of the menu, you'll see data and privacy. You can go to histories and settings, and then you can go to my activity, and then you can filter by date and product and all kinds of stuff. So you can, but you can, they've now taken that a step further where you can actually pull your personal information off that. Now, if that caused your head and your ears to smoke, then there's actually an app, or you can do this through Google Assistant, or you can actually email Google themselves to go help you scrape that data and pull this information, your private information, off the internet. So that's a thing now, Tony. So that's actually something that Google is activated and is now doing. So
I'm so skeptical myself, so we'll see how everything goes.
Right. So in sad news in technology, BlizzardCon, which is usually a Blizzard event by the, not a cold event, but an actual manufacturer event.
And stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, they do video games. Yeah, they are canceling BlizzardCon this year. They're not sure. We're not sure why. They haven't come out and said why. I do know that the video game convention canceled last year too, or was it this year? I think it was last year it was canceled because there was nothing new and monumental to come out with. So, and I think BlizzardCon's kind of going down the same suit. I mean, there's not a whole lot happening in the new video game world as far as new systems and new technology and things like that. So a lot of them are not going to spend the extra money to invest in that front at the moment until there is a reason to do such things. So
just another negative impact of streaming.
Yeah. So another controversy in technology is the Apple Watch ban. So for some of those that don't know, the company Masimo, yes, it's that same company, not t-shirts, but it's the same company that owns Bowers & Wilkins and Polk Audio and Definitech Technology, Denon & Marantz, that's actually a medical grade company. So apparently there was a lawsuit because they had developed the heart monitor for Apple Watches, and because they're a medical company, they started as a medical company first, and they got into a giant fight with Apple and they won the lawsuit. So therefore Apple, the new iWatches or Apple Watches, cannot include this heart monitor technology. So I found that was interesting. That's a feature that a lot of people use while working out. They use it for health reasons to see if they're
monitoring heart rate all the time.
Yeah, no, I do too, especially when I'm exercising as well, you know. In fact, I know of a situation where an Apple Watch actually saved someone's life. You remember Tom Hart, for instance, from used to work at ECD. So Tom, his wife is a nurse, and she's either retired. I think she's a retired nurse now, but his wife went into, you know, he kept getting these tap, tap, taps on his wrist about his heart rate and that it was dangerously low. And he thought it was his watch was broken. And so he kept mentioning it to his wife, and his wife finally said, you know what, let's check this out. And so she went and got a cuff, you know, the standard blood pressure cuff that you see in a hospital or a doctor's office. So he
pick up at a pharmacy.
Yeah, so she went and put one of those on him and checked his blood pressure, and sure enough, it was very accurate and it was very low. She goes, you're going to a hospital. And so she took him to the hospital, and had and sure enough he was having a heart attack. He was having a heart, and it was the preliminary start of a heart attack. And then they rushed him into surgery and course corrected it. But the doctor had said, yeah, no, you probably wouldn't have made it through the night. Like, you probably would have died during your sleep. So now he eats and sleeps with the thing on. So because of this, so they have stated that if the watch already has it on, if it's already on the watch, that they're not going to deactivate it. However, the lawsuit states that it cannot be sold. New watches cannot be sold with it built in.
Well, there's a warning on my Samsung smartwatch that when it monitors your heart rate and all that, it says... it has this warning that comes up every time that says, this app does not monitor for heart attacks. So they're stating that it's simply to, like, check your heart rate, but it's not like, hey, you're having a heart attack, kind of like what that... That's not the way we do it for him.
Right. No, that's 100%. That's exactly what happened with Tom. The doctor had stated this thing saved your life, because if you hadn't said something to your wife and she hadn't been, because it kept bugging him. It literally had gone off like four or five times that day. And
something that will save your life, They are no longer going to include.
Well, I need to read through the lawsuit, because I don't know if it's because they weren't getting paid enough for it, or maybe Apple had tried to copy it and they breached the patent for it. A lot of times companies will partner up with somebody and then, then they'll kind of copy the idea and kind of look underneath the bed sheet and then go from there, and then that's kind of what's happening. So that's kind of what it sounded like.
Newmar did that with Vestex turntables years ago.
Yeah, no, I think that's what's going on in this particular situation is that it was one of those things where and I know a lot of our brands go through this. Well, they'll partner up and all of a sudden they'll split up in a really hardcore fashion. And then eventually it's going to settle, I'm assuming. But until it settled, they have banned new watches with that technology for sale in the United States at the moment. So it's very...
With how my current health has become, I really like the idea of something that will help tell me, hey, you might want to get this checked out.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of technology moving into the healthcare sector. Masimo, actually, that same company, is splitting their division because they felt like the AV portion of the business, which was the newly acquired, they basically bought Sound United. They bought Sound United, changed it to Masimo, and then now they found that the audio video side of that equation has become a distraction from what they really specialize in. So they're actually going to split the company in half and have a audio video consumer division, and then they have a healthcare division like they've been running, but they are 100% moving into that technology healthcare avenue of that, and a lot of people are. There are things like bed sheets and pillows and trackers that track your sleep patterns and all kinds of stuff to see if you're getting the best sleep and all that stuff. So sorry, my puppy, our newest puppy has decided to jump in my lap, and it's time to be in my lap. So that's why I'm if I sound distracted, that's because I'm trying not to be licked in the face. So, especially since after his lizard debacle of about 35 minutes ago. Yeah, no. So, yeah, no, but healthcare is a huge thing in technology for sure. I mean, there's a lot of that. A lot of people like in your health situation, like yourself, are using, have jumped into that realm to try to stay relevant. And as the baby boomers start getting up there and older, you know, they're more healthcare dependent and becoming more dependent on this type of technology. I know people use these little ring things that they wear to check sleep patterns and whatnot and REM sleep.
One of those also.
Yeah. Several of our clients are wearing them. You know, in fact, there's one client that I know that wears two watches. He has an Apple Watch and he has another watch that's monitoring something else. And
is it like a Fitbit almost?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's one of those things that's like a double hit to see how accurate they both are. So yeah, no, there's a lot of fun stuff out there in healthcare and technology and whatnot. So going into our tech topic, there's not a whole lot of room in this episode for it, but we'll kind of go into cover our home theater rules again. You know, rule number one, make sure it's worth the experience, make sure it's worth the trip upstairs. It's the only room in the house that you get to have fun with. Rule number two, listening is subjective. You know, just because I don't like a set of speakers doesn't mean you're not going to like a set of speakers. You know, that's what makes what we do beautiful, because there's everybody hears things differently. You know, rule number three is, should you be using forums and whatnot to spend your money for you? Mainly, should you be using those platforms to weigh in on your decision making capability? And then rule number four, I don't remember if we had a rule number four. I think it was just three rules, I think is what it was. So do you remember number four, or was there number four? I don't remember. Yeah, no, I don't remember. Again, we're this week's episode on Wednesday is going to be Tony and I are working remote, so we're a little bit distracted because of the Iron Man event of today. Right, yeah. So, but we're going to cover home theater in our next episode and kind of jump back into the nuts and bolts of listening. The subject coming up for this week's tech topic is, should you be using audio? I remember rule number four. Rule number four was, use the right tool for the job, which goes right into the next episode. And that is, should you be using or focusing on audiophile grade speakers for your home theater experience? So that's a big topic. It's a controversial topic. And we're going to weigh in on that topic, as well as tee off or springboard into, are you sacrificing your home theater experience, or devil's advocate, your two-channel experience, because you've created a multi-purpose room? Meaning, should you have a two-channel room and a theater, or should you keep your two-channel room and your theater in the same bucket? Where do you weigh in on that, Tony? What's your favorite aspect on that?
Well, I mean, if I were in a situation where I had the luxury of setting up a system for me to just enjoy my music on, and then I had another room where I could go sit in my theater chair with my drink and my popcorn and my milk duds and watch a movie and have that surround sound experience, that would be great. Now, I know a lot of people will probably fight me on this one because of the new thing that is gaining ground called spatial audio. Now, personally, I just don't think I need that.
So I have a confession to make on that as well. So Tony and I would get very heated on the spatial audio topic. And exactly. Tony absolutely hates it. Like, absolutely hates the concept of it. He thinks it's stupid, you know. And here's why.
He's an audio engineer.
Right. Right. As an audio engineer, he thinks it's dumb. And here's why. The reason why he thinks it's dumb is because most of the time music was created to listen in your vehicle. You know, that's, in fact, most audio.
The final mixes were confirmed.
Right. And in the old days, people would record it, go to their car, listen to it in the car. And then, okay, this needs to be tweaked, that needs to be tweaked. And then that's how they would kind of come up with the final mix, mainly because they were trying to see if it was going to sound good for radio play. So this is where Tony and I weigh in really heavily. Now, I have a confession to make on this particular subject. I used to fight Tony on this because I'm a surround sound guy, and I was like, man, I can kind of...
And I actually figured that you would weigh heavier on the spatial audio side, but... Now I'm curious to hear this new point of view.
So Tony and I were in my Jeep, right? And we were going down the road. And believe it or not, this Jeep actually has a, from the factory.
Almost has like a surround sound system.
It's a really good sound system. It sounds really good. And so Tony and I were listening to Apple Music in the car. We're going down the road, heading to a job site. We didn't need all of our tools with this, so we just jumped in and plugged in my phone and kind of did. I don't usually. What's interesting is Tony found it interesting because I don't usually listen to music in the car like at all. Like it's Yeah, it's usually like a silent car trip, you know, because I'm either thinking or he and I are talking about what's coming up on the next cast, or I usually don't listen to radio. So I was like, well, screw it. So while I was in Apple Music, I saw the spatial audio section, and I was like, you know what? Screw it. Let's hit the button. It was spatial audio and Dolby Atmos section. So I said, screw it. Let's hit the playlist. So we hit it. It was the dumbest thing I've ever experienced in my life in a car. It was just like, it was absolutely stupid. It didn't sound right. It sounded like the drums were coming from behind me. The voice was coming from the front left speaker, but not the right speaker. And then the guitar was playing on the front right speaker, but not the left speaker, which equally aggravated me because I'm a guitar guy. So I was like, well, heck, if this is going to happen, we need to switch seats. You know, so... Yeah, no, it was weird. It did not sound good in the car. To your point, you're like, this is going to sound totally stupid in the car. And I just, it didn't have, because of where you were sitting in the car, it didn't sound good. Now, if I had been sitting in the middle of the center console, you know, where your armrest is, then it probably would have sounded great. But because I was sitting on the front left side, because I was driving, it does
the front left sound.
Spatial audio does not make sense in a car. It doesn't make sense in the car. So
people do their listening.
Which is why I understand Tony's frustration point on this subject, which I was like, why is he getting so mad about this? Well, I can understand. One, I don't listen to music in the car very often, so it didn't really affect me that way. And number two, I like surround sound in general, so I didn't understand it. But now that I have seen and heard that point of view in a vehicle, I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in a vehicle. It just sounds like crap. You know, it doesn't sound good in a vehicle. But, you know, because we were listening to, I mean, what song was it? I don't even remember what song. It was not a newer song, but it was something that we've heard a million times.
We had both heard many times.
I think it was Pearl Jam? I think it was either Pearl Jam or Nirvana. It was one of the two. It was one of the two things. It was something that we've heard a bunch of times, and it sounded awful. To your point, which has been your point all along, it sounded absolutely stupid and absolutely awful. So anyway.
Well, what I was noticing also, hold on real quick. What I was noticing also yesterday when we were driving around in the Jeep to a couple different job sites is your system in your Jeep was in a spatial audio mode. And when you had your phone hooked up to it and we were listening to music, and it was also sending the directions of where we were going through the speakers, you could hear where it was directing the directions over to a speaker. Like,
but it wasn't directing it to everybody. Yeah, no, I did. That was interesting too. That was really interesting. Yeah, no, because I was like, what street did it say to turn on? And you were like, man, I don't know. I didn't hear it because you were hearing... You would have thought we were 15 feet away apart, you know, and because in the older cars, it'll just cut the audio off to announce directions and then jump back into the audio. In this car, the audio kept playing, but it was only using the driver's side speaker.
But stays loud everywhere else.
Right, which is really weird. I mean, I can see where that would be cool because it's like, okay, if you're just driving and everybody else is jamming out, then yeah, I could see where that would be a thing. But
we'll work more in a van, though.
Right. Well, it's just I'm gonna have to change my opinion on it. I weigh in with Tony. I don't think it's. If I was watching video at the same time, it would be cool. But
I think it'd be great for music videos.
Right. Yeah. No, I think it would be cool because there's a lot of...
It would feel like you're in that music video then.
Right, which is the whole concept of watching live music or recorded live music anyway, you know, because most live recordings sound awful anyway. They've gotten a lot better at recording them now. But yeah, no, so I weigh in differently on that now that I've heard it in a car because I was like, what is your big gripe with this? Had you experienced it in a car before that? Is that where you weighed heavily in on it?
No, I hadn't. I just thought about it.
Oh, okay.
I was like, okay. I thought about it in the way that a home theater system works.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense. So.
How certain sounds are going to be on the left side, and other sounds are going to be on the right side, which is still true with stereo.
Yeah, no, I think, I think that kind of tees up the next topic of, so now going back to the theater room topic is there a compromise with using an audiophile, meaning really expensive speaker for home theater? You know, home theater is interpreted sound. Music is not. Music is real sound. Both of it is real sound, but in a different way, like meaning you're hearing something, but in a different way, but it's how the sound was created. You know, when a musician creates a sound, well, that's a musician playing that sound. When a movie is created, it's created with magic. That's why they call it the magic of movies. You know, it's the magic of the special effects and the sound engineer behind the board that's creating.
Somebody hitting a big piece of sheet metal with a rubber hammer.
Right, or this is what a punch sounds like or an explosion sounds like. They're not actually recording a punch or an explosion. So, yeah, so there's a lot that go into that. So we're going to cover that going into this coming week's episode just because I think it'll be fun to kind of jump back into the home theater series for a while or for a little while because we kind of chilled out a little bit on it because it was getting too much of the nuts and bolts.
And you know, really absorb what we said so that, you know, they could formulate questions for the next piece.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that's going on with that. My opinion is this: my favorite rooms are to split. My favorite setup is to split the room, meaning having a two-channel setup and a theater setup. either in the same room, but not having one that's dual purpose. The reason why is because theater, you don't necessarily need to tow your speakers in or angle your speakers in. And cinema,
if you're talking about listening to speakers for two channel audio?
Yes.
Depending on the speakers, yes, you do.
Well, no. But what I'm saying is that's the compromise. Meaning, if you got it towed in for two channel, it's not going to sound as good as it should for cinema, unless you're just using a single seat theater and it's all coming to the same thing. But
you have one seat and you tell everybody else, go watch movies somewhere else.
Right. And if you're using an in-wall cinema system, you lack the ability to be able to tow those speakers in the right way for two-channel listening. So that's why my favorite setup is either have two rooms or have two systems in the same room is usually my go-to.
See, and I guess where I have an unfair view on this is because I'm a DJ and recording engineer, so that equipment is totally different.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
In a movie. So I actually do have an area set up just for listening to music.
Right. Well, that's what I would say. That would be my preferred setup. Like if I had an area just for music or in an area just for movie. Like we were at a client's just yesterday. It was like a music store. It was like literally an AV store inside of this house. He had a different setup in every room.
Well, he had two setups in one room.
Yeah, he had two setups in one. So here's what happened.
We're not talking about I've got some realistic speakers and my Radio Shack special amplifier.
No, and he created his own monster with that. He really did. What happened is his wife was not into that hobby.
Actually encourages it.
Oh yeah, his wife, well, he has to slow his wife down in some cases because she's like, oh yeah, let's do this, or oh yeah, let's do that. And now he's basically created an audio store. So in his living room. So, but yeah, no, or in his whole house. It's literally a speaker system in every room. It's pretty funny actually. So, but anyway, so that's what we'll be going into on episode 26, I believe, which will be Wednesday's cast. So Tony and I are kind of discussing this. We're probably going to remove one of the cast during the week. It seems like Mondays are the hardest cast to do, just because it's usually by myself and it takes a lot out of us to do. I was all by myself. Yeah, no. It's usually the, you know, and we're typically having to record these on Saturdays. And Saturdays are hit or miss. Right now, we're coming across our busy season, which is a lot of foot traffic on, which is why this is so weird for us today. Because usually we're at the shop, you know, and just putting out fires left and right and talking to you smiley people in most cases. We'll probably taper our schedule just a little bit. We're waiting for our RSS team to weigh heavily as we close in on May, and we're gonna go look at April, and we're gonna go look at March and April together and see where we're gonna weigh in. I know we get hit quite heavily if we miss an episode and things like that. It's getting harder and harder to stay consistent with the episodes the busier we get. And we don't want to pull a Disney, you know? We don't want to just create an episode to create an episode. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, man. You said the big D word.
The big D dog, double dog diggity. Yeah, no. So I think, Tony, that's a cast. So we're going to jump into our home theater series this coming week. So meaning Wednesday and Friday are going to be the home theater episode. We're going to jump in. As my dog loses its mind, I think that is a cast. This is Justin. And if you heard that, that was Tony. And we are going to bring this one to a close because our time bombs are now becoming time bombs. All right. We love you guys. We'll see y'all in a bit and talk to you in a bit. Bye.